Part of why the Airbnb controversy is so heated may be the infamous housing crisis that San Francisco is going through. It's hard to avoid reports on skyrocketing rent prices, controversial evictions, or horror stories of terrible housing situations. But there's been far less coverage of what actual solutions there might be for these issues. And one outlet that's doing that is the San Francisco Public Press. In its latest edition, Creative Solutions to the Housing Crisis, the paper lists 9 innovative approaches San Francisco can take to resolve the crisis. Noah Arroyo served as this edition's editor. I sat down with him to discuss a few of these ideas.
If you check out the news, right, in San Francisco, you hear a lot of the same conversations happening over and over again about the same issues, and politicians roll out the same potential solutions, and they all tend to be policy-based, really complicated, and it's hard to visualize them. We wanted to look at stuff that might have an application here, but that we aren't even talking about here. It's not part of the policy discussion. So we looked elsewhere for this. We looked to other states, other cities. We looked to New York for a lot of examples. We also looked to San Francisco's own history, say for our story about rent control. That in itself is kind of emblematic of what we found to be the problem with our current discussion about housing issues in San Francisco. Rent control is a major potential housing solution, depending on how you were to tweak it. We're not even talking about tweaking it. Other places like New York are talking about doing at least small things. At the very least, they're talking about it. But we wanted to change the discourse to things that haven't happened yet, things that people aren't talking about.
All right, so let's go through some of them. You have 9 here in this issue. So I want to start with 2, backyard cottages could add a third more homes to the city.
Yeah.
Can you flesh out that idea?
Well, first of all, I got to plug our reporters because I didn't write any of these myself. I directed a lot of the reporting, but this one came from our own Corianne Brosnahan. She discovered that there's this thing called a backyard cottage. It goes by a number of different names depending on what city you're looking at. But basically, it's a type of housing that a homeowner, say somebody who has a backyard, can build, right? They can just do it. Depending on where you're looking at, this is easy or hard to do. But there are a lot of cities, such as Seattle, such as Portland, Oregon, that are really, really running with this idea. In fact, there are cities that have, I think it's Portland, that have given homeowners how-to guides on how to do this type of housing. In San Francisco, you don't see that. In fact, it's basically illegal to do. And if it's not explicitly illegal, then it's functionally illegal. Things like open space requirements, people's backyards, other requirements say we have zoning laws that say you can only build on this parcel of land, one residential dwelling unit, then that basically outlaws building a backyard cottage on that plot of land. A third or roughly so of the homes in San Francisco are single family homes. Those are houses with backyards. That's a lot of potential backyard cottages that we could be building. The other aspect of this, if you take a bird's eye view of the city, these single family home parcels account for about half of the city. Hmm. So we could be doing a lot here. We're not doing it. And it really all just comes down to laws and regulations that stymie construction.
All right, let's go to another one. One of your 9 solutions for solving the housing crisis. And that is 4, which I liked a lot. Build dorm style nano apartments for newly arriving tech workers.
Seattle has a ton of these, and they're being built. We looked at the differences between San Francisco and Seattle. Why is it that they are building, or at least permitting, thousands of these types of super tiny homes, and we're not? The two geographies face much the same situation. They both have an influx of tech workers, or you could just say young professionals, who tend to live alone, tend to spend all day at work or out doing stuff. They have some disposable income, more than the average. These can be built along major transit corridors. They're facing a similar housing crisis in Seattle as we are here. Average incomes are dropping. Average rental prices are going up. So begs the question, why aren't we doing this here? They're building a ton of these small apartments there. Seems to be a limited solution, right? And once again, the
policy.
We have a citywide 375 cap on how many of these super tiny apartments can be built. Seattle doesn't have that cap.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. I'm speaking with Noah Arroyo of the San Francisco Public Press about their latest edition, Nine Creative Solutions to San Francisco's Housing Crisis. Housing solution number five, allow off-the-shelf homes in San Francisco's underused spaces. And there's a picture of a woman, Heather Stewart, who co-founded Box House with designer Luke Eisman. And she lives in a converted shipping container that is 160 square feet. So is that what we're talking about here? Shipping containers, turning them into homes?
Well, we're talking about a lot of stuff and they're all concepts. So I gotta throw those out there. Some of our ideas are a little zany. And that was kind of the goal. So this was one of those. This is completely theoretical. But let's talk theory for a second. This specific story looked at two different ways to, I don't want to throw too much jargon our way, but productize homes, right? So instead of going through the normal development process and, you know, you want to build a home, so you find, a contractor, an architect, whatever, the crew, you file the permits and all that stuff. What would happen if we just didn't do that? Like, what are ways to avoid that and still build something that you can live in? And where would you put that? We found two different ways of doing that. One was this thing that you just mentioned, shipping containers, living in them. And this is something that a guy, Luke Eisman, has already designed, is building. He lives in them. So does Heather Stewart. And he's working on, with a team of people, acquiring, I think it's a warehouse where he's going to basically set up a shipping container colony. That's the plan. That's over in Oakland. The other idea in the story.
A shipping container colony.
A shipping container. You can stack them, I think, seven high, if I'm not mistaken. In at least from his account, you can do it in pretty rough weather, too.
Huh.
As long as you're in a warehouse in Oakland, I'm guessing the weather doesn't get too rough. And you got ladders and stuff. But yeah, that's the idea, right? Pack as many people into a small space as possible. That is, at least in theory, a response to our current housing crisis.
All right. So we went through a number of your nine solutions to the housing crisis, and there are more. And our listeners can pick up the latest edition of the Public Press to find out the rest of them. But I'm wondering what you think is most likely to actually happen anytime soon.
Oh, you mean like
in
reality?
Which one of these solutions, like in reality?
Oh, out of the solutions that are in our edition.
Right.
Oh, that's a tough one. The whole tiny apartments thing would be a realistic one. We've already passed legislation to allow super small apartments. These are pre-220 square feet apartments, right? Backyard cottages also make sense because other cities are doing this right now.
Is there optimism that this housing crisis can be solved or maybe just managed to an extent that people can stay in the city? That says a lot.
It's really tough. It's really tough. I mean, think of how Senator Mark Leno was trying to pass these changes to the Ellis Act, which is state level law that has, as I'm sure all your listeners know, some real dire consequences locally for us here in San Francisco. And those changes didn't make it. I think that may have been a litmus test for what exactly is possible right now. It's kind of depressing when you really think about it. Our current methods for creating affordable housing aren't working. And unless we try something different, it's not going to happen.